greetings, America. Yeah, it is I. How are you, Truth Seekers? Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com sitting in for Mike Malloy tonight. Mike and Kathy have the night off. They will be back with you next Monday. Never fear. They'll be back. But you got me tonight, and I got you, and I got you, babe. Cue that up, Tony. We're going to need that tonight, too. Great talk to you. We're broadcasting live from beautiful downtown Burbank in sunny California. Not so sunny anymore, though a balmy 70 degrees tonight for your drive home. We're going to hope it's as warm as that out there for all of you folks. If not, curl on up to the radio. We will keep you warm tonight. A big show ahead. You're going to play a big part, I hope. I've got so much I want to talk about, as usual. We'll see how much I actually get in. You can check in with the show tonight at 877-520-1150. That is not the Malloy's normal number. So write it down, 877-520-1150. You can also stop by bradblog.com, where I am your friendly citizen, investigative journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, and tonight, chat room host, because we've got our chat room open, as we do whenever I sit in on the Mike Malloy Show, and we would love to see you there. The lovely Desiree is moderating tonight. Jeannie Dean, unfortunately, is off. She's one of our favorite chat room chicks. Maybe she'll check in with us. We'll see. But until then, we will be here exercising her First Amendment remedies for her. I love that, man. First Amendment remedies. That actually comes from Jeannie Dean. I told her I was going to steal it, and steal it I have. And I will continue to use it all night long because, well, given that election, we do need some First Amendment remedies, don't we? Well, you got them right here with me. And later on tonight, we're going to be having Jason Leopold in studio here with me to talk about all things Bush. Head to the mountains. Little Anheuser-Busch joke for you Bush fans. Let's see, I'm from Missouri, so I can pull that stuff off. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri. Anyway, so we're going to have Jason Leopold's going to be in. We're going to talk about the fact that 92 videotapes, interrogation tapes, torture tapes were destroyed, but nobody's going to be held accountable. At least that's what the special prosecutor says, and Bush is running around announcing proudly what a great torturer he is, and he's not facing any accountability, or is he? Will he? We will do our best to hold him accountable, so hold your Bush calls for all things accountability in that regard until later in the show. When you can call in and talk to me and Jason at 877-520-1150. And, you know, I got some big picture stuff I want to talk about. I haven't been on with you since the election. What election? There was an election? That's what I heard. Something went on. Yeah, there was an election. And I haven't been on with you since then to talk about it, to talk about all of the problems that we have. And for folks who know me, you know I talk about elections a lot and about our electoral system and about concerns of election fraud and oversight and transparency and all of the things that matter in our democracy that sadly almost no one pays attention to. Other than me. So we got some mopping up to do there. I want to talk to you about some of the problems that we had in this election. You may not have heard about them because, well, everyone would rather cover the horse race and this phony left, right, red, blue, conservative, liberal nonsense rather than the problems of our democracy. So I'm going to give you some idea of some of those problems that we did have. But then I do want to talk about some bigger picture ideas. Because this red, blue, right, left stuff is absolutely killing us. So we are going to exercise our First Amendment remedies in that regard shortly. Did I mention the chat room? I did. Bradblog.com. Come on by. Say hi to Dez and everyone else there. Some breaking-ish news here today. The Supreme Court says that no, they have to keep, the military must keep enforcing don't ask, don't tell, despite the fact that a federal judge found it to be unconstitutional. Now, remember, the Supreme Court is stacked with folks who love to call themselves constitutionalists, originalists. Well, I guess the First Amendment wasn't in the original Constitution. That was an amendment to the Constitution. Maybe that's how they get away with this crap. So these constitutionalists don't want to, and don't ask, don't tell, while it's undergoing an appeal. Why? I don't know. They didn't give a comment. They just said it's fine. Even though it's been found unconstitutional, it's fine to keep it going. So these guys, when you hear them say they're constitutionalists, they're conservatives because conservatives believe in the Constitution. No, they don't. Stop buying that crap. That's a lot of the crap I want to talk about tonight, because that crap is absolutely killing this country. These fake paradigms, this fake right-left stuff, these false equivalencies between Fox News and MSNBC, and oh, they're all the same. One's on the right, one's on the left, they're all the same. No, no, they're not. So we're going to talk about all of that tonight. And again, you know, it just, when I see these guys, it has been actually conservatives, real conservatives on the right, who have taken this fight for same-sex marriage, for don't ask, don't tell, to get rid of that. It has been real conservatives, actually, who have said, no, it doesn't say in the Constitution that you can discriminate against someone based on their sexuality. That's not in there. It does say in the Constitution that there is equal justice under the law. So we ought to follow that. So if you're a constitutionalist, if you're a constitutional conservative like I am, and a federal judge finds that don't ask, don't tell is unconstitutional, then that means it's over. It needs to end. We need to give equal rights to all. That, my friends, is a conservative idea, not a liberal one. Certainly not a Democratic one these days, not with Barack Obama out there challenging it, but a conservative idea. And yet, the so-called self-professed conservatives on the Supreme Court, they don't think so. They think it's fine to ignore our constitutional rights and then still call themselves constitutionalists. Are you kidding? No, they ain't. All right, well, that's some of the problem with these liars on the Supreme Court. Some of that breaking news. The fight continues. Like I say, I want to get these small ticket items out of the way first so we can get to the stuff that actually matters. Here's one of those sort of small ticket items. Speaking of liars who say they're constitutionalists and conservatives and all of that, you know, this fight that everybody's been on about, what are we going to do about these tax cuts for the rich and how to, well, obviously, the Democrats, as Greg Sargent wrote today, the Democrats just need to go forward, put up a bill. They still, by the way, have the majority in both houses, and they will for 2 months. Take a bill to the floor of the Congress and say, okay, here's a bill. All it does is extend the Bush tax cuts for the middle class. It's a middle class tax cut. That's it. Vote it up or down, yay or nay. That's it. Now, if the Republicans want to go on record voting against tax cuts for the middle class, let them. And then, if we want to get to this issue of these tax cuts for the rich, the 2%, the richest 2% that will drive a $700 billion deficit into our hole, into our deficit, well, then fine, let the Republicans come around and do that. But no, we've got Barack Obama, the great negotiator, signaling, his White House signaling, well, maybe we'll do those tax cuts for the rich, or, you know, what else could we do? What else could you do? You could learn how to negotiate, Barack Obama. Man. So anyone who didn't see this coming, anyone who didn't know that Barack Obama was going to be one of the lamest negotiators in the whole wide world, wasn't paying attention. Because here's what I wrote at bradblog.com back April 1, actually, April Fool's Day, but this was not an April Fool's Day joke, April 1, 2007. I wrote, quoting me, presidential candidate Barack Obama tells AP today that he believes Senate Democrats will vote to fund the Iraq war without withdrawal timelines if Bush vetoes the currently pending spending bills, as he's promised to do. Now, you remember, at the time, the Democrats were saying they had just taken over the majority in the House in 2007, and they were saying that, we're going to put a timeline, a withdrawal timeline from Iraq into the spending bill. Otherwise, there ain't going to be no spending bill. And so there was a standoff on this for about 6 minutes until Barack Obama kind of killed that. Because what he did was he told AP that Obama said that he was willing to show his hand and essentially give permission to Bush to go ahead and veto that spending bill with the timelines in it with no consequences. I wrote at the time, if we ever need to negotiate for anything, remind us not to call on Obama to represent us. Now, here's the thing. Here's exactly what he said to AP, Barack Obama, in 2007. He said, I think it's important for voters to get a sense of how the next president will make decisions in a foreign policy arena. Yeah. Great. Well, we got that sense when he gave it to us, and if you didn't notice, if you didn't know that he was a lousy negotiator, if you didn't notice it during the healthcare fight, when instead of coming in and requiring single payer and compromising on a public option, he came in with a public option, sort of, and then compromised on nothing, giving away the whole store, and that's what he does. He is a lousy negotiator. And I got, by the way, a lot of guff at the time when I pointed that out to folks in 2007. Oh, don't attack Barack Obama. He's a great hope. Well, he was a great hope. He is a smart man. He is a fine man. But he's a crappy negotiator. We're going to talk about much more of these small ticket items and the big election. And then big, big items right after that. You're listening to Brad on the Malloy Show. Stay tuned.
Well, that's true, 'cause you got me, baby, I got you.
Yeah, I got you, babe.
Hey.
That's it. Crank it, baby.
I got you, babe.
Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy tonight.
I got you, babe.
I got you, and you got me, and I couldn't be happier about it. Our phone number is 877-520-1150. Broadcasting in tonight for Mike Malloy, keeping an eye on the chat room at bradblog.com. Please stop on by. A lot of good folks over there. Great to see everyone lining back up to say hello. Orangutan, pro-anti, for Earth, emo probs, as we like to call them. A lot of folks, so come on by and say hello. And you can give us a call at 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150. As I said, I got some items I want to get out of the way, and then I want to get onto some big picture stuff. Some stuff I want to talk about how we got into this mess we're in and how the hell we're going to get out of it. And no, it doesn't have anything to do with, I was going to say it has nothing to do with Democrats and Republicans, but yeah, of course it does. But it's not, you know, the day-to-day stuff, the right, left, the garbage, can you believe Glenn Beck said this, and can you believe Barack Obama did that, and all of that stuff that is absolutely killing us. And on that score, John Stewart was absolutely right in his rally for sanity, and we're going to play some of that in a little bit later here in the show, because it happened right before the election, 48 hours before the election. And it was hard to pay attention to what he said, but I believe that he said some very important things. So we're going to get to that and a whole lot more. A couple of other items I want to make sure to hit in case you thought all went well a couple weeks ago in that election. You weren't paying attention, were you? You weren't reading the Brad blog. Some 15,000 problems were called in to the 866-hour vote hotline, election protection hotline, which is run by election integrity folks. 15,000 problems. Hundreds and hundreds of them had to do with electronic voting systems and problems that happen. But it was an interesting switch. An interesting flip, if you will, this year on the touchscreen machines. You know, we've had in years past, election after election, we get these reports of people using touchscreen voting machines, which are still used across 20 to 30% of this country. People using these machines, their votes flip. It's usually Democrats. We hear about Democrats go and they try to touch these machines and their vote flips over to a Republican or a Green or a Libertarian, and these Democrats are getting screwed. And of course, they talked about it for years. We talked about it back in 2004, all of these problems all over the country, state after state. We saw it again in 06. We saw it again in 2008 as these touchscreen systems, these 100% unverifiable touchscreen systems proliferated the country. And of course, when Democrats did it, they were called conspiracy theorists, sore losers. They're making it up. It never happened. These aren't the droids you're looking for. Well, things changed this year for some reason or another. I'm going to talk about that when we come back. Some very interesting developments. As anybody know what that's from? Jimmy Stewart from It's a Wonderful Life? What a very interesting development. We had some interesting developments concerning these touchscreen voting machines. The worm has turned for all of those Democratic tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy theorists. Where were they this year? Oh, I know where they were. They were all trying to vote Republican. And the touchscreen machines wouldn't let them. And no one called these people conspiracy theorists. And Republicans actually did something about it, unlike Democrats. Going to talk about that and much more straight ahead. Brad, in for Malloy. All right. Who knew that was Helter Skelter? That's what I was waiting for. I know I was waiting for the chorus. Is it coming up? You got it? Yeah, it's going to be a while. All right, you're listening to Helter Skelter right here on the Mike Malloy Show. There you go. Well done, Tony. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Brad of bradblog.com. Glad you could join us here tonight. Our phone numbers are 877-520-1150. I do promise to go to the phones soon. 877-520-1150. So get on in, line on up if you want to talk. We will be getting to the big picture items, the big ticket items, but certainly elections are a big picture, and I'm not going to talk about them all night long, but I am going to talk about them for a few more minutes because there's a few more items you need to know about. We were talking before the break about touchscreen voting systems that for years had flipped when the voter tried to vote, and it was always a Democratic voter almost every single time trying to vote for a Democratic candidate. The vote would flip to the Republican or the Green or the Libertarian in state after state all across the country. And, of course, right on schedule, it happened again this year. But this time, it was Republicans who all of a sudden saw their vote flipping before their very eyes. Got some great video of this from Texas, a voter in Dallas County who was trying to vote for Republican Rick Perry. Put his finger on the choice there for governor, for Republican governor, for Rick Perry, and all of a sudden all of these other candidates lit up. They were all Green Party candidates all across the rest of the ticket. Essentially, a vote for Rick Perry turned into a vote, a straight party ticket vote, however we call that, for the Green Party. He was smart enough to capture it on his cell phone video. But guess what? In Texas, that's against the law. So even though this guy did a great service for everyone by showing exactly how this was done so that voters could be warned, hey, be careful when you're using these machines. It turns out I spoke with the election director down there, and he has referred the case to the DA in Dallas County, incredibly. And so this guy, for a while now, has taken down the video, but I saw it, and I can tell you that that election director lied to me about it. He lied about what was on that video. He said, oh, yeah, no, the guy hits his uses his thumb to hit the Green Party candidate, and that's what happened. I was like, well, then how do you explain all of the other Green Party candidates who also lit up at the same time? Guy's name was Sherbert, Bruce Sherbert, the election director down in Dallas County. He said, you know what, I have no more comment on this, and he had to go suddenly. So anyway, that happened in Texas. We got it on videotape. Had reports of it happening in Nevada. Had a lot of reports of it happening in North Carolina. And again, Republicans trying to vote for their candidate in North Carolina, and they saw it flip before their very eyes to Democrats. Now, instead of calling those people conspiracy theorists, the North Carolina GOP went to court, brought a lawsuit. Well done, boys. And guess what? The judge didn't call them conspiracy theorists or tinfoil hat wearers either. The judge said, yeah, I agree. This is a problem. And now, of course, what the GOP had asked for was to put an extra sign or something on these machines. Mind you, these are 100% unverifiable voting systems. You can never, ever verify that even one vote ever cast on a touchscreen voting machine has ever, ever been recorded accurately for any voter or any candidate or any initiative on the ballot during any elections. So being careful about the, you know, what the screen says really doesn't do a whole hell of a lot, to be frank. But they got a judge's warning. The judge said, hey, be extra careful there. So, of course, they were careful, and they maybe got it to register correctly on the screen. That has nothing to do with how their vote was counted. That part is inside the computer and remains 100% unverifiable. But I was happy to see it happening to Republicans. Now, here's the other side of the coin. In Ohio, it also happened. And we've got the video of this at Brad Blog as well. A voter in Ohio was smart enough to capture this event happening also on his iPhone video. And on this one, we can see plain as day, a vote for Democrat keeps popping over to the Libertarian candidate. Are you concerned? It's Ohio. You should be concerned. Because this year, reportedly, according to these voting systems, there will be a Republican governor once again in Ohio and a Republican Secretary of State. 2004, anybody? And they still use these damn touchscreen systems in Ohio 100% unverifiably. The Democratic Secretary of State, the currently serving one, Jennifer Brunner, did the largest study in the history of mankind of these systems and found that they are all unsecure and should not be used in any election. But I'm told she doesn't have the power in Ohio to ban the machine. She did, however, recommend that all the counties get rid of them. Guess what? They didn't. What a shock. So, we still have touchscreen voting systems all over Ohio. We've got a Republican governor coming in. We've got a Republican Secretary of State coming in, and we are barreling towards the 2012 election. What could possibly go wrong? Now, whose fault is this? Well, I would say it's the Democrats, because they didn't get rid of these damn machines. They've had majorities in the House and Senate since 2006, and they didn't ban these machines. But I do have good news, because the Republicans now realize just how dangerous these systems are. They now have the majority in the House. They, I'm sure, will make one of their first orders of business a bill that bans all of those touchscreen voting systems, right? Yeah, well, if it happens, I'm all for it. Come on, Republicans. You were yelling and screaming out there in Nevada. how terrible these machines were, how the SEIU was controlling these touchscreen machines used all across the state. I don't know if they were or they weren't, but I'll tell you what, I don't care. They could. And that's what's wrong with these systems. 877-520-1150. Oh, where's it? Hey, Rick, call us back. I was just about to go to you if you're listening. 877-520-1150. A couple other stories, and then we'll get to your calls and the big ticket items related to this election in DuPage County, Illinois. One of the most Republican areas of... Yeah, I was going to say right-wing Republican areas of Illinois. It's so bad that the DuPage County Election Commission actually pays a guy $3,000 a month to be their PR representative, and the guy happens to run a blog called ReverseSpin.com. He is a far-right wing nut. His name is Dan Curry, and he is an unapologetic teabaggers before there were such a thing. A right-wing operative. He has every right to be a right-wing operative if he wants to be. But don't you think the Election Commission ought to find someone who isn't a right-wing operative to be their PR guy, to pay $3,000 of taxpayer money? Go check out ReverseSpin.com. You'll see what I mean. Go look up this Dan Curry guy. Anyway, this is DuPage County. So in this DuPage County, a fella, a GOP poll watcher by the name of Lawrence Moretti, thought it would be really appropriate to show up at the polling place in a Hispanic area, heavily Hispanic area, wearing a hat with the logo for the Immigration Customs and Enforcement Agency. An ice hat. The Iceman cameth in DuPage County at the heavily Hispanic polls. Wore it all day, at least for most of the day, with a leather jacket. Rather intimidating, I would suggest. The Republicans, of course, they disagree. Nothing intimidating about that at all. Meantime, they're up in arms about this jackass in Philadelphia 2 years ago, calling himself a new Black Panther, who was caught out in front of a heavily Democratic district, African-American district, caught on tape being an idiot and has been barred from the polls by the Bush administration and also by the Obama administration. Yet they're outraged about... Oh, and by the way, there was no complaints in that case. There was no complaints at all. About voter intimidation there. However, there were complaints back in DuPage County, but the GOP have no problem with that. The good news is he went home for an hour or so, maybe to get some lunch around 2:30. This Lawrence Moretti, this GOP poll watcher, came back with an NRA cap. Nice. But we're using our First Amendment remedies, not our Second Amendment remedies, as Sharon Engel would have it. Finally, before we go to a break, come back to your calls. In Philadelphia, it's an amazing story. Wrote about this at Brad Blog this week. African-American woman, Lindsey Granger, she went in to vote at her polling place at the Trinity Baptist Church in Philadelphia for the first time. She had recently moved from a different area of Philly. She went in to vote, and because she had moved, she had to sign an affirmation, since this was her first time at this polling place, you know, that in fact she moved, and this is her new address, and blah, blah, blah. You sign this affirmation, that is that. But that wasn't enough for the poll worker who was working at the polls in Philadelphia at the Trinity Baptist Church. She forced Lindsey Granger to vote, lay her hand on the Bible and swear that she was who she said it was. This is Lindsey Granger over at her own blog talking about this. She said, "I had to lay my palm on the good book and state my name and address before I was allowed to sign my name in the voting log and enter the booth. They called it an affirmation. I call it creepy and a little offensive. You think? I'm not a Christian," she writes, "so why should I have to swear in a Bible? Would I have been struck down if I lied about my address? Doubt it. The Bible doesn't mean anything more than a Koran or a Torah or Bhagavad Gita. Can you say that word? Yeah, you know, that Indian book, whatever. If anything, I should swear, she goes on, if anything, I should swear on a constitution or something. Voting is a civic responsibility, not a religious one, and there isn't supposed to be a separation of church and state. Maybe some people, ahem, Christine O'Donnell, don't think so, but I feel like the idea behind having to swear on a Bible or any religious document in order to vote is not okay. She writes, what if I had refused? Would I have been denied the ability to vote? Well, I looked into that. I spoke to the voter registration administrator in Philly. I'll tell you what he had to say in a second. But finishing up with what Lindsey Granger said, she said, the more I think about it, the more skeeved out I become. Not because it's the Bible and I'm not a Christian, but because something feels inherently wrong about having to swear on something to be able to vote. I'd rather show my jacked up passport picture than go through that again. Maybe knowing the historical context of black people voting in America, I'm hypersensitive about being made to feel uncomfortable at a polling place. Or maybe my personal history of ignorant people saying ignorant things about my lack of religion has caused me to have visceral, often negative reactions to most things religious. Whatever it is, it's so not cool, she writes, before adding, but it didn't stop me from voting. Good for you, Lindsey Granger, for hanging in there, for letting people know about it, for contacting Voters Unite, and filing that complaint so I could find out about it, and I could check in with the registrar of voters out there in Philadelphia who told me, to my amazement, that there is a Bible supplied to every polling place in the city of Philadelphia. It has been there for ages. I asked him, well, why would that be? His name was Bob Lee. He was a good guy. He said, well, it's supposed to be there so that poll workers in the morning can swear in to that they'll, you know, do their job nonpartisan. And I said, well, Bob, what would happen if, you know, someone didn't want to swear on a Bible before, you know, being a poll worker in the morning? He said, well, yeah, I hadn't thought of that. That's a good point. What if they're Jewish or something? And yet this persists. He says that in Philadelphia that polls have received Bibles in their election packs for ages. Hey, Philadelphia, want to do something about that? I hope so, because you know what it leads to? People being intimidated by being told they have to swear in on a Bible, but only in the African-American districts, apparently. Brad Friedman, in for Malloy, 877-520-1150. Your calls are next. Welcome back to the Malloy Program. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike. He will be back next Monday. Going to get to your calls here, 877-520-1150. I told you I had a lot to talk about. I told you I had a lot to... See, this is what happens when you make me, you know, just go sit behind the blog for weeks at a time without getting on the radio to exercise my First Amendment remedies. I'm just full of stuff. So don't forget to stop by our lively chat room, by the way, at bradblog.com. And we're going to have next hour, too, we're going to get to your calls as well. So never fear if I don't get to you. 877-520-1150 and some of the big ticket items I wanted to talk about. Let's see if we can get in some calls here very quickly before I have to go to the top of the hour. Bruce in Santa Paula, California. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir, and thank you for hanging on.
Hey, Brad.
Hey.
I wanted to call and make a comment about the book effort by George Bush. And
the book effort?
Well, the book sales effort, you
yes.
know, his big blitz, media blitz type
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it seems to me that man is never more than about 5 feet away from someone who despises him. And it should not be difficult to organize protests everywhere that he goes.
Yep.
So that he has to run the gauntlet of people, you know, every time he has a public appearance, there are people there to stand up to him.
Yep.
And, you know, I don't know how to get that word out. I don't know who, because, I mean, there's so many different groups and whatnot.
Well, remember, he's got a lot of Secret Service protection out there, so be careful.
He can't force the free speech zones anymore.
Well, that's right. I mean, and paging code pink. I suspect those ladies are going to be there, and I hope they are, and I hope people keep track of where he goes. You know, I don't know what his public appearances are going to be. I doubt he's going to do book signings at Barnes & Noble the way, you know, Karl Rove did. But you're right. Wherever he is, for the rest of his days, there should be protesters reminding the world that he is a torturer, a war criminal, and needs to be held to account. And we're going to be talking later in the show with Jason Leopold about exactly that. But no, Bruce, you're absolutely right. He needs to be held to account.
I'd use you and the next platform to get it out there for people to think about. And hopefully there's going to be enough groups that there are many groups that could be, you know, involved in it from Move On. Who knows?
They absolutely should be there. Bruce, I got to move on, as it were. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. You bet. Absolutely. Exercise your First Amendment rights. Thanks for letting me steal that from you, Jeannie Dean. Yeah, we're going to talk about accountability and say, where the hell are the Democrats and why aren't they demanding it from this character and his criminal friends. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. If you're on the phone, hang in there. I'm going to get to your calls right after the top of the hour. 877-520-1150. Much more straight ahead. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker. Bradcasting live all night from the West Coast, coast to coast, and around the globe. We are very delighted you could join us. Mike and Kathy will be back with you next Monday. They've got the night off, so you got me. I hope you're okay with that. Glad to be here with you. Our number is 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. It's not Malloy's normal number, so don't use it. But do use 877-520-1150 and stop on by the bradblog.com chat room, where there is a lively chat going on, being moderated by the lovely Desi Doyen, who is doing double duty tonight, screening your calls and moderating your chat room. And I'm doing my best to keep an eye out on the chat room as well. And you can also reach us on the Twitters. If you're not following The Brad Blog, please do. That's The Brad Blog at The Twitters. Okay. I see some. Hey, there's Angry Black Lady. Oh, I love her. I hope she calls in. She's one of my favorite tweeps. Okay, what else do I got to do before I get to some of these phones? All right, well, let me get to a call, and then, Tony, if you can get our friend Fareed queued up. Let's go to Stephen in Burbank. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Stephen. How are you, sir?
Just great, Brad. Just great.
Are you great?
Better than great.
Oh,
perfect.
Wow.
Magnifico.
Oh, why is that?
Well, because the boss tells me that I have to say fine to the customers, and I hate to say fine. And so we compromise, and I can tell the customers that I'm great. I asked him if he's got any complaints yet. But anyway, that's either here or there.
Where do you work? Where do you work, Stephen?
Burbank Auto Parts.
Oh, okay. They're great.
And well, as we remember, remember in 2008, the Republican slogan was country first.
Yeah.
And we didn't
They were just kidding on that, you know.
Yeah, but we didn't ask which country.
There you go. Yeah.
And what's happening is, like, there's a lot of yammer about the extended tax cuts for the uber wealthy.
Yeah.
And capitalists like to say that they invest their profits back into the business. And Republicans say that they like to run the country like a business. So it would seem to be a pretty good solution if Obama could compromise or negotiate that they get their tax cuts extended if there's zero employment in the United States when they invest in factories that produce solar panels, wind turbines, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, well, that's what he's been trying to do, actually. There was a lot of money, actually, in the stimulus bill for green technologies and the climate bill and climate legislation bill was meant to do a lot of that and invest in green technologies because, yeah, that is the future. And it's the future, of course, that China and Germany have figured out. And, of course, any reasonable people in these United States have figured out. But we don't necessarily have reasonable people, do we, running this country? The Republicans, certainly, and the Democrats. You got, you know, Joe Manchin down there in West Virginia, one of his, their newly elected senator. You've got, he's a Democrat. He comes out with a campaign commercial where he literally pulls out a gun and shoots a hole in the cap and trade bill. And this guy is a Democrat. So, you know, and when people call him a conservative Democrat, I want to say no. He's a corporatist Democrat. He's a coal mining Democrat. But there ain't nothing conservative about it. Nothing conservative about, you know, burning off all of our fossil fuels, about killing our kids, about raising the temperature of the planet. That's not conservative. That's just idiocy. Hey, thanks, Steve. I do appreciate the call, sir.
Okay, my naivete is falling away from hearing your words.
Thank you, sir. I do appreciate it. All right. 877-520-1150. I want to play this audio because, hey, Tony, remember I said it was going to be a mellow show tonight? How's that working out for me? I want to play this audio because, you know, We're past these elections. Most people are. I'm still in the trenches fighting. Don't even start me on Alaska. If you care about Alaska, stop by Brad Blog, and we've got some audio there. I was on with my friend Shannon Moore up at KUDO earlier this afternoon talking about it. And that's turning into a very interesting little thing there, by the way. And Joe Miller is actually doing some of the right things. For some reason, he's taking my advice. Go figure. Anyway, we'll touch on that another day. Because, you know, really, we've had this hand-wringing and navel-gazing since the election. What happened? Why did America turn against the Democrats? Why did the independents suddenly decide they liked Republicans instead of Democrats? Of course, I don't think that they did. I think they just, you know, more of them stayed home, and the only ones who went out were the ones who voted for Republicans anyway. They weren't really independents. But anyway, you know, the problem is we put this whole thing into a completely phony paradigm. And we've got the mainstream media on the airwaves, on the cable news, on, you know, 24/7 on your talk radio. And that includes on the progressive side of talk radio, if you can find it. Good luck. But you can drive around the country, you can find three or four layers deep of right-wing talk radio. But they've created this phony paradigm that they now actually believe, and especially inside the Beltway. Fareed Zakaria was on the Bill Maher show last week, and they were talking about the elections, and, oh, what happened? And, well, here's what Fareed Zakaria had to say.
I think it stretches imagination, though, Bill, to think that fundamentally, if you look in this election, what happened, basically, as you mocked them, independence broke for the Republicans. It's difficult to imagine independents saying, I'm going to vote for extremely right-wing Republicans because Obama wasn't left-wing enough. Right? You see what I'm saying? They're saying, I'm going to, instead of voting for Obama, who was left of center, I'm going to go to the extreme right of the political spectrum. But I think it's more plausible to say that they perceived, rightly or wrongly, that he had moved too far left.
Okay, that was a whole bunch of crap in a row coming out of the mouth of Fareed Zakaria. Americans don't think, you can call and tell me I'm wrong here, 877-520-1150, but I don't think Americans go to the polls with this notion of, you know what, I want liberal policies, I want conservative policy. Of course, some of them do. Some of them are fooled into thinking they believe they want conservative policies. Of course, those are the people who voted for Republicans who want to give tax cuts to the rich and blow a $700 billion hole in the deficit, not conservative. But, you know, this whole left-right paradigm is phony. And it is created, by and large, by guys like Karl Rove. And you can go back to the, you know, the Southern strategy with Nixon and Pat Buchanan. And, you know, who figured out, well, if we just, you know, cut this thing down the middle, half of them are going to vote for, you know, Republicans, half of them are going to vote for Democrats, and hopefully our half will be bigger, and we can just divide the country into these phony left-right paradigms. And this just went through the roof when we got to the 2000 election, and USA Today made that famous map showing the country as red and blue states. And, of course, it looked like there was all this red all over the map. Clearly, this means that America is red. They're Republican. They're conservative. You know, never mind that most of that map was, you know, rocks and goats and not actually people. Where all the people were, that was blue. But, you know, it's a phony paradigm. And only inside, I think, inside the Beltway and on cable TV do you hear people talking like that. At least, you know, the reasonable people. Not the people who watch Fox News who have been disinformed from the jump. But, you know, they don't say, I'm in the mood for some liberal policies this year. I want some conservative policies. You know, they care about what helps them, about what is effective. When I come back, I'll read a little bit from Glenn Greenwald, who spoke to this rather brilliantly, because he got into really this same fight with Lawrence O'Donnell. Who seems to think, at least in the same way, this phony right-left, conservative, liberal, red-blue, Democratic-Republican paradigm that nobody thinks that way. At least not the reasonable people, at least not the normal people, the people that John Stewart really spoke to on the Mall 2 weeks ago, October 30th, 2010, in what was a pretty amazing rally, in truth, and we're going to try to play some of that as well. Because it speaks to this phony paradigm, and it speaks to the fact that the media plays into this phony paradigm. And I will speak to the fact that the Democrats allowed this phony paradigm to continue because they internalize it, and at the same time they do nothing about what's going on our public airwaves. And this just allows this paradigm to get worse, to get repeated over and over again, to be internalized to the point where you actually got people who believe it. Of course, most of those people are in the media. They have cable news shows like Fareed and Lawrence. So I'll read you a little bit of Glenn Greenwald when we come back, and I will take more of your calls at 877-520-1150, and maybe we'll even play some John Stewart. Brad in for Malloy. Dancing with myself and with you here on the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in for Mike. We'll go to your calls in a minute. 877-520-1150. Jason Leopold of truthout.org will be joining us. He's also the author of News Junkie. We will have some good old-fashioned bush bashing. Actually, it's called accountability. And because he's still on the loose. George Bush is on the loose. Just want to let you know, maybe coming to a town near you. He is a fugitive from justice. Someone needs to hold him to it. Let it be you. 877-520-1150. Although, use your First Amendment remedies. Let me be very clear about that. Not your Second Amendment remedies. That's Sharon Angle's job. 877-520-1150. Talk about this phony left-right paradigm, which is absolutely killing and crushing this country and has led to every mess that we are currently in. And I mean that. Because it's been, picked up and used as a marketing tool. It's not just a political tool. Now it's a marketing tool. And our cable news stations are lining up on the left and the right. And I've got to tell you something. I really object to the false equivalency that Ted Koppel wrote about today in the Washington Post when he said MSNBC and Fox News are the same thing. You just got one on the left and one on the right. No, they are not. And John Stewart did a little bit of that at his rally and then with Rachel the other day, but I think he was a lot more thoughtful, whereas Ted Koppel just said, they're all the same. Well, no, they're not. I believe it was, David Roberts of Grist who tweeted today that, can we all agree that yelling really loudly on cable TV, yelling the truth is different from yelling really loudly a bunch of lies? Can we at least agree to that much? And no, it's not, the truth the way you see it. It's just the truth. It's just facts, demonstrable facts. Anyway, Glenn Greenwald writes on this phony left-right paradigm in reflecting on the recent election results. He says, voters don't think the way that cable TV personalities think. Voters don't run around basing their vote on this type of vapid sloganeering. Who is a liberal? Who is a conservative? Who wants big government and who wants small government? It's true that the word liberal has been poisoned, and it's thus hardly surprising that few people embrace it as their political identity. But, he says, as I documented during the segment with Lawrence O'Donnell, which O'Donnell ignored, this is they were both on Morning Joe together not long ago, large majorities support positions routinely identified as quote-unquote liberal, including the public option, greater restraints on Wall Street, preservation of Social Security and Medicare. They can say they are not, quote, liberal, but their specific views on substance prove otherwise. So, when Democrats play into this idea of liberal ideas, even when they say progressive ideas, when they don't talk about the ideas themselves, they have lost. But far more important, continuing with Glenn Greenwald, but far more important still, what voters care about are not cable news labels, but results. Democrats didn't lose because voters think they're too, quote, liberal. If that were true, how would one explain massive Democratic wins in 2006 and 2008, including by liberals in conservative districts such as Alan Grayson? Were American voters liberal in 2006 and 2008 only to manically switch to being conservative this year? Was Wisconsin super liberal for the last 24 years when it thrice elected Russ Feingold to the Senate and then suddenly turned hostile to liberals this year? Such an explanation is absurd, says Greenwald. The answer is that voters make choices based on their assessment of the outcomes from the political class. They revolted against the Republican Party in the two prior elections because they hated the Iraq War and GOP corruption, and they revolted against Democrats this year because they have no jobs and having their homes foreclosed by the millions are suffering severe economic anxiety and see no plan or promise for that change. Not because they think Democrats are too liberal. That's only in cable TV land that people think like that, not in the real world. Put people to work. Start fighting for what's right. And I suspect people will vote for you. Brad in for Malloy. Much more straight ahead. New York's a go-go and everything tastes nice. Poor little greenie. Yeah. They got a spell on a lot of people out there. That's the problem. That's the problem. It's the media, stupid. Brad in from Malloy of bradblog.com, 877-520-1150. I wrote, what was this, October of 2009 in a piece over at Alternate. I wrote for Commonweal Institute, our media need a fair and balanced doctrine. Yeah, they do. Just minutes after noon on January 20, 2009, hope arrived for constitutionalists and supporters of its First Amendment. A slight, little-noticed, but exceedingly noteworthy paragraph appeared on the new Barack Obama administration's White House website technology page. Quote, encourage diversity in the ownership of broadcast media, the paragraph began. Promote the development of new media outlets for expression of diverse viewpoints and clarify the public interest obligations of broadcasters who occupy the nation's spectrum. Those were some pretty hopeful words. These are the people's airwaves. They have been taken over by corporations who do not mind the public interest, who feel they have no obligations to the people. And that's how we got into the mess we're in. Unfortunately, those words, those hopeful words on January 20th, 2009, as the new president was sworn into office, were removed from that website before we even got to the summer. Hope would be short-lived. 877-520-1150. It's the media, stupid. Let's go to Mike in Madison, Wisconsin. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Mike?
Hey, Brad. Thanks for filling in. Any friend of Mike's is a friend of ours here in Madison.
Thank you, sir. You're very kind.
I'm going to fill in for Mike tonight and say one of his old lines. Have I told you how much I hate Republicans today? they just don't stop. And I'll tell you the part that irritates me the most and the reason why I hate them and what most people on the right think is that we're envious of them, which is the exact opposite. I don't want anything that they have. I don't want to be like them. However, I can understand why they want what I have. I don't have anything but my freedom. So, in essence, what they're trying to do is take away my freedom and my lifestyle, which really is upsetting. And we now have some redness added to Wisconsin and being the bluest part of the state, Dane County. The governor has already stated he's coming after the liberals in Madison. Well, I've got one thing to say, and I'll let you go tonight. Bring it on. Mr. Walker.
All right. Well, let me say this, Mike.
Yeah.
Because I think you're falling for it as well. And here's what I mean. You just talked about the bluest part of the state, the reddest part of the state. I'm coming after you liberals. You know what? He is your fellow American. And if he wants to call you names, you know, let him. But you should stand up for what is right. You should stand up for the Constitution. I suspect you are far more conservative than he is because you probably believe in, you know, the rule of law and, you know, the First Amendment and equal justice under the law. Don't let them put you into that box. Do you know what I mean?
I hear you. And I'm one of those guys who's cried from the start that the Obama administration, it's great to talk about social change, but until we get to social justice, I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, I hear you, Mike. I appreciate the call, and I'm sorry you lost Russ Feingold, one of the finest men to ever serve in that Senate, in truth.
Thanks.
Thank you, brother. All right, let's go to, well, we'll get to some John Stewart in a minute here, but let me talk to, where should we go, Royal in Des Moines, Iowa. Hey, Royal, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Well, hey, Brad, how's biz tonight?
Well, you tell me. You guys ready for them caucuses? Because, you know, now it's all about you. We've the previous elections, they're done for 10 minutes. And so now it's all about 2012 and Iowa, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah. And I was, or maybe still am, chairman of my precinct here. and except for
how do they hey Royal, how do they count those you know, those caucuses? And I know there's these crazy rules and nobody on outside of Iowa actually understands it, but how do they count who votes for whom in those caucuses? They raise their hand, don't they?
Yes, they do, or we pass out little pieces of paper, and then what I usually did was had someone come up and either count them or watch me while I count them to make sure that everything was on the up and up.
And so it's all like 100% transparent. People are raising their hands, or you're counting the little pieces of paper right there, right then and there in front of everybody, right?
That is correct.
Imagine that. Okay, you had a different point, though. What was your point, Royal?
Well, okay, also what happened here was three Iowa Supreme Court justices got voted not to be retained.
Yep.
Because of the same-sex marriage thing.
Yep.
Which really wasn't about same-sex marriage. It was about equal protection under the law.
Yes. The Constitution, and the conservative ideal of equal protection under the law. Yep.
Yes. And normally I have always voted just because I feel it's good to keep things turning over. I have always voted to kick them all out, all the judges,
okay.
You know, not just the Supremes.
Right.
Because they have that all the way down to associate court and everything.
Right.
But this year, I voted to keep three. However, my vote wasn't enough.
Those three, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and because I hate that Vanderplatz person that was whipping up the, and all of the out-of-state.
Yeah, it was out-of-state money. It was people coming in.
Money.
You know, here's an idea, you know, in light of this horrific Citizens United ruling from the Supreme Court. Thanks for that, Supreme Court. Here's an idea. If you can't vote for someone or something, how about you can't contribute to their campaign? Is that a crazy idea?
Well, that would be okay. Or if you remember back in the civil rights days, people in the South would be saying things like, well, we don't have any trouble with our blacks around here. That's all outside agitators.
Yeah.
Okay. And so if they have these spots on TV and won't disclose who's putting it on and where the money's coming from and all
yeah.
of that.
Yeah.
Maybe we should call that outside agitation.
Well, that's exactly what it is. It is them outside agitators, but of course they don't mind them when they're outside agitators who agree with them, of course.
Well, I don't care if it's outside agitators from the right or the left.
Yep.
But we need, and this would have to come from, you know, the ground up
mm-hmm.
rather than the top down.
Yeah.
But the saying could be, you know, we don't need any outside agitation around him.
Yeah, there you go.
And because that kind of stuff gives me emotional problems, too.
I hear you, Royal. Thank you for your call. Good to talk to you, sir.
Okay.
All right, brother. Have a good night.
Mm-hmm.
877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. John Stewart's rally was really important. Set aside the fact that it was, I don't know what, two, three, four times larger than Glenn Beck's rally that was, you know, covered everywhere and proved just how far to the right America had gone. No, it just proved how many people Fox News could get out there. And Jon Stewart proved how many people Comedy Central could get out there. But he made some really good points in his closing speech where he kind of went serious on us. And a lot of those points were lost, I think, in the hustle and bustle of the election just 2 days later. Do I have time? Or yeah, go ahead. Or I could take a break and come back. What do you think? Take a break, come back. All right, let me take a break. Come back. I want to play this. And I promise not to yammer, Tony, when I get back. We'll go straight to that Jon Stewart clip because he made some really important points. As far as I'm concerned, I think he hit the ball out of the park. Would like your thoughts as well. 877-520-1150. Jason Leopold will be coming in. Get on your... take off your shoes and get ready to throw them in the third hour when we talk a whole bunch of Bush. Partying like it's 2005. 877-520-1150. Brad in for Mike. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike. We're talking about, and I'm going to try to get to your calls, 877-520-1150. We're talking about this Rally for Sanity, which was really quite brilliant, I thought, in certain ways, and certainly in the comments that John Stewart had to say at the end when he went serious. And set aside the false equivalence that a lot of people think that he put, you know, oh, the right is as bad as the left is as bad as the right, Fox is the same as MSNBC. Set aside that, I think there was a much greater point that he made. And here's a few minutes from that speech that he made, in case you didn't hear it. We got like a three-minute clip here. I think he makes a really, really important point here.
We live now in hard times. Not end times. And we can have animus and not be enemies. But unfortunately, one of our main tools in delineating the two broke. The country's 24-hour politico pundit perpetual panic conflictinator did not cause our problems, but its existence makes solving them that much harder. The press can hold its magnifying glass up to our problems, bringing them into focus, illuminating issues heretofore unseen. Or they can use that magnifying glass to light ants on fire, and then perhaps host a week of shows on the sudden, unexpected, dangerous flaming ant epidemic. If we amplify everything, we hear nothing. The press is our immune system. If it overreacts to everything, we actually get sicker and perhaps eczema. The image of Americans that is reflected back to us by our political and media process is false. It is us through a funhouse mirror, and not the good kind that makes you look slim in the waist and maybe taller, but the kind where you have a giant forehead and an ass shaped like a month-old pumpkin and one eyeball. So why would we work together? Why would you reach across the aisle to a pumpkin-assed forehead eyeball monster? If the picture of us were true, of course our inability to solve problems would actually be quite sane and reasonable. Why would you work with Marxists actively subverting our Constitution, or racists and homophobes who see no one's humanity but their own? We hear every damn day about how fragile our country is, on the brink of catastrophe, torn by polarizing hate, and how it's a shame that we can't work together to get things done. But the truth is, we do. We work together to get things done every damn day. The only place we don't is here or on cable TV. But Americans don't live here or on cable TV.
Or on AM radio. He's right. The picture that is painted of this country on cable TV, on AM radio, this phony right-left paradigm is false, is just not real. It is a fiction. And while I understand where there are bad guys out there who might want to keep that fiction going because it does serve them politically, it's not real. It is fake. And progressives and Democrats, they fall into it too. And even, you know, progressive radio hosts, Randy, Mike, Tom. This notion that, one side is conservative, one side is liberal, it's a false paradigm. And it is killing us. And it is the very tool that allows these guys to go out and make the case, oh, you don't want liberals, do you? You want conservatives. And they can make this case, and this case is built, and it's reinforced on the radio, and it's reinforced on the 24-hour news channels, and I put news in quotes. What's happening to our country is very serious, and it's not a sports game. It's not ESPN. And that is, by and large, what our cable channels have become. And what our political coverage has become. Forget the cable channels. Our political coverage. We have become a nation that covers serious issues as if they are contests, as if they are sports. You know, Olbermann, of course, he comes from ESPN, so that's understandable. But, it's not him. It's the Beltway. It's the people who, who's up, who's down. This is not helping. It's not helping any of us. All it does is help to distract us from the things that matter. All it does is help to distract us from the fact that, we have a voting system that we can no longer count on because we can't oversee it. We can't make sure it works. It keeps us from, holding criminals accountable because, oh, that would be just political payback. Democrats against Republicans. No, it's about accountability. It's about what matters in this country. It's about the Constitution. It's about living each day. It keeps us from reforming our media and our airwaves and taking them back for the people. Not for the red people or the blue people, but for the people. It's not about right and left. It's about right and wrong. I've been saying it for years. I'll keep saying it. I hope you'll join me. Jason Leopold comes up after the top of the hour. Brad, in for Mike Malloy. We got one more hour straight ahead. Hope you'll stay with us. Welcome back, Truth Seekers, to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, an all-around nice guy. That's what I say. Sitting in for Mike Malloy. Mike and Kathy will be back next Monday for your listening pleasure. Until then, you have got me, broadcasting live from the left coast in beautiful downtown Burbank. Jason Leopold is going to be joining us here in studio momentarily, but I wanted to, Delbert has been hanging on for a while down there in Texas, and as if that's not, you know, bad enough, but so 877-520-1150, if you want to get in line. We're going to talk about all things Bush. We are going to party like it's 2005 and nobody's been thrown in jail, because that's kind of what it is like still. Delbert in Shamrock, Texas. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Del.
Hi.
Hey. What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to comment on the idea of lowering the tax rate.
Yeah.
So businesses have more money to invest.
Yeah.
The underlying premise there is entirely false.
Yeah.
If capital investment or current operating expenses are always paid out of pre-tax income, so the tax rate on that money is always zero, regardless of what the marginal tax rate is.
Well, and there's another problem with it, Delbert. The fact is that these tax cuts that they want to extend are the same tax cuts that have been in place for the last 10 years, and they didn't create any jobs then either. So, I mean, it's already proven to be a sham, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I would, you know, I could make that point very easily myself, but I didn't want to.
Where is Shamrock, Texas, Del?
About 15 miles inside the Oklahoma line on I-40.
All right. Well, you're in charge of, I guess that's West Texas, isn't it?
Well, I'm not in charge of hardly anything.
I was going to put you in charge of West Texas. Hey, Del, I appreciate your call. Thanks, and you make a very good point. And I just wish to hell that Barack Obama would hear it and learn how to negotiate. Thank you, brother. Have a good night.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Oh, wait. Where's my... everything's falling over. I'll find that later. All right. Jason Leopold is the deputy managing editor at truthout.org. And by way of disclosure, I write there from time to time. He is also the author of the L.A. Times bestseller, News Junkie, a memoir. I keep forgetting to bring my copy, Jason, so yeah. I have to have you sign it. Well, welcome to the show, sir.
Thanks, Brad. Good to be here.
How are you, brother?
Doing well.
All right.
Doing well. Keeping busy.
The L.A. Yeah, well, there's always, unfortunately, there's always something to keep us busy. One of the things I want to talk about with you, George W. Bush, like a nightmare, has come back into all of our lives. And I'd say there's a reason why he is even allowed to come back into our lives. But we'll talk about that in a minute.
Sure.
You explain this to me. 92 videotapes.
Right. The torture, the interrogation tapes.
Yes. 3 years they're looking at these things. They were destroyed
right.
on purpose. Nobody
there's,
is disputing
there's no
that,
question
right?
that. I mean, the... There is a dispute as to what the reasons were that they were destroyed. But let, you know, just to put it in context,
yeah.
On November 2nd, 2005, the Washington Post published a front-page story for the first time revealing the black site prisons that the CIA operated around the world.
Right.
Or rather, in countries such as Thailand and Poland. 1 week after that story was published, these videotapes that were actually made in 2002
right.
Were destroyed. Okay, those videotapes were made in the black site prisons
right.
In Thailand. In fact, the two videos, there were 92, 12 of them showed that high-value detainees were, in fact, tortured, waterboarded, and other torture techniques
now,
that they were subjected
to. Now, how do
to.
We know that, given that they destroyed them?
Because what happened was is that the ACLU filed a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit. And basically their lawsuit was filed in September 2004, and they were looking for records documents, any sort of material that dealt with the way the U.S. treated detainees in its custody.
Right.
And what happened was is that in 2007, December of 2007, the revelations came out by the New York Times that these videotapes were destroyed. The ACLU filed a contempt lawsuit against the CIA
right.
for not turning over documents in accordance with the these videotapes in accordance with their Freedom of Information Act lawsuit.
Right.
During that lawsuit, we were able to get what they call a Vaughn Index, which basically says what the, you know,
so
documents
the title
related
of each
to the videotapes.
Oh, right.
So we actually got to see more or less the email chains, what was going on back and forth with regard to the videotapes, who was instructed to destroy them. We didn't really get to see a reason. I mean, of course, their reasons were, well, the lawyer said, just like Bush says, the lawyer said we had the authority to do it. Jose Rodriguez, who was the head of the CIA's clandestine service, said that they wanted to protect their agents in case it ever came out, in case you could see them.
And was that the ostensible reason that they gave that we had to destroy these because if they were ever seen, then we would see the people doing these.
They felt that the CIA operatives would be
outed, if you will.
Right. But here's something that's
because we all know how much the Bush White House
right.
doesn't want to out CIA
yeah.
agents.
Yes. Yeah. Right. They have a very great track record in protecting
right.
CIA operatives there. But the you know what's important about to know about the tapes is that they were made between April 2002
right.
and November 2002. And the torture
memo
that John Yoo right. issued didn't come out until August 2002. So we actually don't really know what was on those videotapes
mm-hmm.
Prior to that August 2002 memo. And when the ACLU sued and the CIA responded and said, we have about several thousand pages of documents related to these videotapes, and they confirmed that 12 of them showed these two detainees being tortured. They said that we're only going to give you the documents related to the August 2002 on the interrogation tapes, what was going on, what we know about it at that time.
In
so
August,
they wouldn't give anything before then, because what would that do? That would obviously indicate that perhaps, there was torture techniques that were being
done
to the detainees before they had the quote-unquote
legal authority
to do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, their whole story has unraveled. And these are tapes, by the way, that were withheld from various court cases, from various judges who demanded them,
right.
Withheld from the 9/11 Commission, okay?
Right.
The idea that they were just, we need to purge them because we're worried, it was clearly a cover-up. I think that the only thing missing is the actual smoking gun, in a sense, saying that we need to destroy this because people are asking for it.
And again, this is like, it seems to me, you know, like the Scooter Libby case, where you have...
Right.
We are talking here about, and I'm speaking with Jason Leopold of truthout.org, we're talking about the destruction of these tapes, and if a crime was committed in the cover-up of another crime, we don't even get to talk about
right.
that other crime. And it was similar with the Scooter Libby case.
Right.
That was all about covering up for the crime.
That's exactly
of
right.
outing
yes.
the... I mean, they have buried this thing so many levels deep...
Right.
Beneath the cover-up,
they have, and it's certainly the cover-up, which is a huge crime in and of itself, obstruction. But in addition to that, we're also talking about torture, which is not what's being is part of the investigation.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We're not even getting to the point where we
right.
can investigate torture because we're talking about investigating the cover-up
I
of
will
the torture.
Add, I yeah. will add that John Durham, the special prosecutor from U.S. attorney from Connecticut, who was appointed special prosecutor by Michael Mukasey,
right.
former attorney general back in January 2008, to investigate this. Last year, Eric Holder expanded his mandate and said... He could conduct what's known as a preliminary review
right.
of about less than a dozen torture cases,
right,
to determine if CIA contractors, agents exceeded the legal memos when they were interrogating.
If they went further than what these legal memos,
but
which are already phony.
Yeah, but it's only a preliminary review to determine if there's enough evidence to get to a full-scale criminal investigation.
This is absolutely mind-blowing. Yeah. We're speaking with Jason Leopold, and Jason, well, we've got to take a quick break here, but I want to come back and find out what John Durham did, tasked at looking at this thing, these tapes, for now two years?
It's January would be 3 years, so it's nearly...
Right. What the hell he was doing for all of these years to now come out and say, oh, we're not going to press any charges.
Right.
Everything is fine here. We're speaking with Jason Leopold. I'm Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. We'll take your calls at 877-520-1150. A whole bunch more straight ahead. Welcome back to the show. Brad in for Malloy. Speaking with Jason Leopold, Deputy Managing Editor of Truth Out and, frankly, experts on all things Bush corrupt. How's that? Is that about right?
That's, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Corruption.
All things Bush corrupt. You can give us a call if you have a question for Jason at 877-520-1150. We're talking about these torture tapes, 92 torture tapes, all destroyed. John Durham, the special prosecutor, is put in charge by the previous administration.
Right.
Go figure.
Right.
Does that have anything to do with why it is that he, just to let people know?
I don't think that anyone should read into that. I don't think anyone should read into the fact that, because Michael Mukasey tapped him, that therefore there was going to be a cover-up. And I know that there are some people out there that are looking... someone who I admire very much, Andrew Krieg, who is a writer, works at the Huffington Post, and he's looked at John Durham and said that he's got some issues regarding his past work. But the issue is that I think it was, I think there's a number of different factors here. I think that one, there's certainly a possibility that it was politicized, and I think we should look at the fact that what he ultimately was able to do and not able to do. I don't think that there was ever going to be any sort of charges that were brought.
But wait a minute, Jason.
Yeah.
He's a special prosecutor.
Right.
He's assigned to look at this to determine if crimes occurred, and particularly in this case, the cover-up, the destruction of 92 videotapes said to show evidence of torture.
Right. And so, he was only looking at the obstruction aspect of it, whether the Jose Rodriguez, the head of the CIA's clandestine service, obstructed justice, and other people as well,
in giving
when
the order
when they destroyed
to destroy the tapes.
Right.
Okay.
So, he never actually, from what I understand from sources that I've spoken to, he never even interviewed Jose Rodriguez. It's my understanding that he wasn't subpoenaed either. And I've spoken to some legal experts, and they felt that the reason was because Jose Rodriguez and his attorney said that if he was subpoenaed, he would basically assert his Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. So he could not... in a way, he had such a great out. He didn't have to. He could not force him to testify.
Well, all
if he
criminals
was...
have this, though.
Right.
So John Durham has been looking at this thing for 2 or 3 years. He comes in. Hang on, because I'm not trying to cast aspersions actually on him. I'm trying to figure this out. He's looking at this for 2 or 3 years, and the statute of limitations runs out when? Last Wednesday,
The statute of limitations, Brad.
Yeah,
ran out on the day George Bush's book was published, okay? And the Justice Department made the announcement that there would be absolutely no charges. Or rather, that's what they said. You know, they said that there's still some sort of open investigation
concerning these videotapes.
Excuse me. Yes.
On the same day that the book comes out.
On the same day that George Bush's book comes out, in which George Bush is saying, yes.
It was a friendly, it was a nice, torture publishing gift.
The torture saves book. So, you know, I think that there certainly should be some criticisms toward Durham for running out the clock.
Well, what took so long?
But I have to say that I also think that this was done. This is where the politics come into play here. I think that his investigation was actually done months ago. And it's my belief, and I don't have any evidence to base this on, only on the historical nature of the way this Justice Department has worked, even with the Obama administration, is that they wouldn't make the announcement because it was an election coming
up.
So
they waited until after the election?
They waited until after the election and waited until the statute of limitations ran out. And they made the announcement because they were being pressured to make the announcement.
But what is the base? And I've actually got to get out in about 30 seconds here, and we're speaking with Jason Leopold. We're going to continue with him. But what was the basis for saying we are not going? There are no charges here. They say.
That's the problem. We don't know. We don't know. Their official line was we don't have, John Durham has chosen not to pursue criminal charges. It's my understanding he just didn't have enough evidence to secure an indictment. Now, we don't have a report. The report that he has filed, presumably with DOJ, has not been made public, so it's difficult to know.
So all we know is he's not going to bring charges, so he says. We're speaking with Jason Leopold of truthout.org. 877-520-1150. We're going to get to your calls after this break and find out about these U.S. attorneys, Bush's U.S. attorneys, who are still in place. This is insane. Brad in for Malloy. I've been at you. Dahlia Lithwick wrote at Slate this week. She said, "We keep waiting breathlessly for someone, somewhere, to have a day of reckoning over the prisoners we tortured in the wake of 9/11, without recognizing that there is no bagman to be found and that therefore we are all the bagman." President Barack Obama decided long ago that he would, quote, turn the page on prisoner abuse and other illegality connected to the Bush administration's war on terror. What he didn't seem to understand, what he still seems not to appreciate, is that what was on that page would bleed through onto the next page and the page after that. There's no getting past torture. There is only getting comfortable with it. The U.S. flirtation with torture is not locked in the past or in the black sites or prisons at which it occurred. Now more than ever, it's feted on network television and held in reserve for the next president who persuades himself that it's not illegal after all. Dahlia Lithwick in Slate. Brad in for Mike Malloy, sitting in studio with Jason Leopold of truthout.org. You know, that's what it's all about, isn't it, Jason? It's not about revenge or anything else. It is about the fact that the bar is now so lowered for
completely,
a future president.
Completely.
Non-existent.
It's a precedent that this president set, certainly. And, you know, I have to say that Dahlia's article in Slate should be read by everyone.
I agree.
Because it's incredibly powerful, so well written. And she's a fantastic reporter. You know, really, when you look at George Bush's book, mm-hmm. when you see the admissions that he has made, which, by the way, are not new. He made these same admissions 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
What it reminds me of is how little, actually, how the Democrats and this president have done nothing, absolutely nothing, to hold anyone accountable. In fact, what they have done is that they've thwarted every effort at accountability. Barack Obama has spoken on the campaign trail about Republicans who are obstructing his certain policies into place. He's actually obstructed investigations by Congress early on. John Conyers, Patrick Leahy, any sort of commission, Truth Commission, Blue Ribbon panel that they wanted to put together, he and Rahm Emanuel, his former chief of staff, have obstructed that. And when you look at this, when you look at the book and you see George Bush on television, what should be, people should remember is how this president just continuously, and the Democrats, because they should both be held to account, have just turned a blind eye to it.
They have, and in that, you know, it's not like this stuff is optional. If you read the UN Convention Against Torture, we have an obligation to investigate and to bring charges. Signed by Ronald Reagan, by the way, that lefty liberal.
Look, you know, Brad, this administration a couple of weeks ago, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, they issued some news releases, held a news conference, announcing that they were going to implement sanctions against seven individuals, I believe it is, of Iran's Revolutionary Guard related to human rights abuses related to last year's disputed presidential election in the country. Some of the things that they outlined that these Revolutionary Guards did were exactly what the Bush administration did, which is indefinite detention, torture, murder.
Yeah.
That happened under that last administration's watch. The hypocrisy is truly stunning.
It is mind-blowing. And, you know, when I see these folks saying, well, waterboarding, it's not really torture. It's a tough call. We prosecuted people. We executed people for carrying out waterboarding in World War II.
You know, you mentioned Ronald Reagan. I had written a story earlier this year, or maybe it was last year, that under his Justice Department, prosecuted a Texas sheriff and his deputies for waterboarding prisoners.
Yeah.
They were sent to jail.
Yes, of course.
Ronald Reagan's Justice Department. You know, Obama has set a terrible precedent that will just be carried out by other administrations. And the fact is that Justice Department, Brad, is it's highly politicized. And there's not much, there may be some changes, certainly in the Civil Rights Division, but politics certainly have infected that agency.
And many of the same U.S. attorneys appointed by Bush, the same corrupt ones, the same ones down there in Alabama, Laura Canary, you know, who did the job on Don Siegelman, she is still there, which, well, you'll have to explain it to me, but I do want to get in some calls here because Ron in Prescott, Arizona. Ron, I really appreciate you hanging on the line as long as you did. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Good evening, Brad and Jason. Do either of you gentlemen believe that the Bush crime family, along with other crime families in America, have been working for decades to weaken America economically for a purpose, mainly weaken America through unjust, insane wars like the Gulf Wars and Afghanistan? But the purpose for doing that, if you believe they are, my opinion is they're trying to force America into a world government and world economic system. Any comments?
Thanks, Ron. I appreciate that call. What do you think?
You know, I can't really speak authoritatively on that. It's a great question. I think that certainly if you just want to, you know, talk about the wars in general, Iraq war, the entire sort of remaking of the Middle East has been something that the key players who were behind that had had in their mind for a very long time. I mean, it goes all back to that whole neoconservative doctrine of hegemony that Noam Chomsky had had written about.
And I may be naive here, but you know what? I don't think these people are smart enough, are clever enough to put together this grand scheme for one world order. I think this is a base reality that, you know what? This is a way to make money. They can make money. They can make riches. You know, Cheney and his buddies just made, you know, while the economy all went in the tank for everybody else, the oil companies, they just made money. And, maybe I'm not seeing the big picture, but I just think these are a bunch of creeps who want to make money.
And they're doing very well.
Indeed they are. Let's go to Chuck in Washington State. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Chuck.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going okay. What's up, Chuck?
All right. My question, I guess, is, is it possible? I mean, it's not to be in the Bush administration. I don't imagine that he had a lot of Democrats in there. But, you know, in investigating the torture and the rest of it,
yeah,
and the document, basically the document fraud, which I'm kind of wondering, you know, could there have been Democrats involved in a bunch
of
them?
Which document fraud are you talking about?
Well, basically the destroying of the tapes.
Okay, right.
You know, and I'm sure there was documents destroyed, too. Come on.
The documents destroyed to cover up the cover-up of destroying the tapes.
Right. You know, call me a conspiracy nut, but it's really hard to have any faith in any of the investigations because they keep coming up with nothing.
I hear you, brother, and that's thanks for the call, Chuck. I hear you, and I think... You know, I think that's what Dahlia is sort of talking about in her article, that this is something that we're going to have to live with, not just with the crimes, but when you look at this, when you see all of these guys, these bad guys, who not only got away with it, they're flaunting it, and that, you know, people look at this justice system and they go, there is no justice system. This is a fraud.
You know,
top to bottom.
It is. And I can understand why they're saying that, because just a few months ago, if I'm not mistaken, earlier this year, Nora Danahy in the same state, Connecticut, appointed special prosecutor by the previous administration to investigate the U.S. attorney firings.
Correct.
Lying to Congress. She spent many years on it. Nothing. Okay.
Nothing. Yep.
The Office of Professional Responsibility at the Justice Department, charged with investigating John Yoo, Jay Bybee, and others, and their legal work in behind these memos. 5 years. They actually did recommend that they committed professional misconduct and that they should be punished as a result. Overturned by that in a snap of a finger by David Margolis, a man who is basically charged with cleaning up the messes there. So... There's been no accountability. There's absolutely
Scooter Libby.
No accountability.
Is the only guy who actually was found. I mean, since what Jack Abramoff and Bill, he was found. I can't believe the guy from Ohio who went to jail working with Abramoff. Never mind. he wrote the Help America Vote. I mean, these were years ago.
There's no accountability, and that goes for, look, you know, that goes also
nobody.
For the financial meltdown and the people that were behind that as well. And I think this administration, you know, has not changed from the last administration when it comes to holding people accountable. And I think that should really concern everyone who actually cares about accountability.
Of course.
And justice, that, you know, politics... are very much have infected the entire process.
877-520-1150. Speaking with Jason Leopold of truthout.org. Partying like it's 2000 through 2008. Back when, you know, we actually thought there would be accountability for this stuff. Now, we get this statement yesterday coming in the wake of John Durham's decision that there will be no prosecution concerning the destruction of the torture tapes. You get this statement from John Conyers, who has spent the last 4 years, hang on, I can see the look on your face. John Conyers spent the last 4 years as the chair of the U.S. House Judiciary Committee. He comes out with a statement saying, it is absolutely vital that a thorough review of President Bush's now admitted ordering of waterboarding take place. A thorough review. We are a nation of laws, not men, and the domestic and international laws, including the Convention Against Torture and other cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment or punishment governing the use of torture, are clear in their scope and application. There is no exception for the president or any other official, and no lawyer's opinion can provide immunity from these laws. I have also urged the department to reconsider the recent decision not to pursue justice against those responsible for destroying the videotaped evidence. Of course, if the statute of limitations is up,
right,
is there
exactly
anything that they could do? Involving waterboarding by the CIA, the Justice Department should do its duty here and uphold the law in both of these matters, and if not, Congress needs to act. If not, Congress needs to act.
John Conyers is notorious for just basically writing letters. That's about it.
Sharply worded letters.
That's a great, you know, that we're a nation of laws, not men, I think is what you read there. You know, where have you been, John Conyers? Where have you been for, you know, 2 years? You did try to put together some sort of blue ribbon commission.
Right.
But what happened? You know, John Conyers is allowed to perform oversight investigations without having any interference by the White House.
Right.
He made a decision. And, you know, the fact that this press release comes out 2 days after more or less the news just shows how out of step he is.
He could have recommended not just investigations. He could have recommended charges that such and such be brought up on charges. He could have hauled in Karl Rove's ass in handcuffs.
Right.
You know, and he's had 4 years to do it, and I'm delighted that he's calling for accountability.
That's all he's doing, that his high-minded statements, you know, are just really don't amount to much at the end of the day.
It's absolutely maddening, and I think that Americans find themselves with no place to turn.
No.
And a justice system that they think doesn't exist, and frankly, for good reason. And we could blame the Bush administration for 8 years. Now we got to start blaming the Obama administration for these past 2 years.
Well, when more evidence continuously comes out showing this malfeasance and these crimes, somebody has to be held responsible for not doing anything.
Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy, speaking with Jason Leopold of truthout.org. We got just one more segment. I'm going to try to fly through your calls. When we return, Mike Malloy is back next week. Never fear, he'll be back on Monday, and then I'll be with you for a few days over Thanksgiving. You've been warned. Brad in from Malloy, stay with us.
Say it's only a paper moon, sailing over a cardboard sea. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. Yes, it's only a canvas sky.
Yeah, when it comes to justice in this country, it really is a paper moon. My thanks tonight to the great engineer, Tony Sorrentino, here in L.A.'s K-Talk AM 1150. My producer and call screener and the chat room babeski, producer Desi Doyen. For manning that chat room at bradblog.com, where we will have tonight's broadcast up for the archival purposes. And, of course, my thanks to Mike and Kathy Malloy for allowing me to sit in. They will be back on Monday. All right, Jason Leopold, in our last few minutes here, question from the Bradblog chat room. Cody K. asks you, which countries would you say have more accountability, transparency, justice, and representation? Where is it better? Where would you go, Jason?
Well, the first three that come to mind right now.
Yeah.
UK. All there's an active investigations, multiple investigations going on there right now. Spain, which has been trying to do some investigations. And Italy, which has actually tried to hold the CIA folks accountable
hold
for some renditions.
CIA, yeah, because those guys are signed on.
I mean, they're actually, you know,
they have to do it if we don't.
Right. So,
Bill of Rights man adds maybe Morocco, Germany, New Zealand. Yeah, pretty much any place but these United States right now. Let me see if I can get in some callers. And callers, I'm going to have to ask you. I'm sorry, I know you've been hanging on a long time, but I got to fly through because I'm running out of time. Warren, your point. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi. You know, the first time I listened to you, I was sleeping in the woods waiting for a court case. Just a little bit of trivia there, man.
I'm not sure I understand what that means, but okay.
Well, it was the first time I ever heard you sub for Malloy, and you do a good job of it.
Thank you, sir. All right. Your question.
You were talking about the false paradigm.
Yep.
between left and right, and I think it connects to some of the things your guest has been talking about, too. Sometimes I wonder if that paradigm isn't completely in this country at this point, with the political climate having shifted so much to the right, the center has shifted so much to the right, that I wonder if the whole paradigm isn't basically a fiction to begin with. And
I think it is, Warren. I think it's all phony, and I do have to run. So I appreciate
That's
your call.
Fine. I know you've got a lot of
yeah.
callers.
Thank right. you, brother. Thank well, you. Up Bye. Against the clock here. You got a thought, or can I get a quick call? Because I've only got a minute or so left here. All right. Let's get to Steve in Austin, Texas. Welcome to the Molloy Show. What's your question or comment very quickly, sir?
Oh, hi, Brad. Good to hear you on the show.
Thank you, sir.
Regarding the U.S. attorneys, you kind of read my mind. All of them, all the Republican, or excuse me, the Bush-appointed U.S. attorneys need to go. Don Siegelman needs to be in Alabama.
Yep.
Needs to be exonerated.
Yep.
And heads need to roll.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it, and I agree, and I don't know why they weren't gone on January 20th, 2009.
Just not a priority for them right now. It's clearly not a priority.
What is a priority, Jace?
Well, it's hard to tell at this point, and I think that trying to figure out what to do for the next few years and how to do it is obviously the big priority.
Yep. All right. I don't think I can get to Cindy. Cindy in Claremont says Obama is out in 2012 if he extends the tax cuts. Did you hear that, Obama? Cindy says you're out. Neil in Santa Rosa, New Mexico says they didn't investigate 9/11 either. Oh, boy. All right. Well, yeah. Jason, I really appreciate you coming in here tonight.
Thanks,
sitting
Brad.
In with me, brother.
Great to sit next to you while you're doing a great job here. Thank you.
I really appreciate it. Keep up the fight. I know it's got to be dispiriting. It is for me. I'm sure it is for everybody out there in this country. But we will overcome. And I mean it. Good night, America. We'll see you back at bradblog.com. Keep it lit.